613-461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, serving Kings Bay at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As always, we're delighted to have you tune in, join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We'll be looking at a very important, I think, perhaps one of the most important U.S. Supreme Court cases in the history of America. The court's having the oral arguments today. It will make the decision, their decision, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision on the oral arguments today, dealing with our First Amendment rights, will determine the direction of the United States of America in the future. We will either lose our Bill of Rights as a result of the oral arguments today, or we will gain the security that we ought to already have in our Bill of Rights, especially our First Amendment, the freedom of speech. We're talking about today the Supreme Court and censorship, the First Amendment on trial. The First Amendment on trial. Oral arguments will take place today. In fact, the oral argument started at 10 o'clock this morning. It's going to be interesting to see how the courts make a resolute decision about this. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you'll recall in 2020 and again in 2022, the elections, in fact, I believe both elections were stolen by the Marxist media and the Communist Democratic Party under the approval guidelines and directions of the Joe Biden administration. And during the peak of COVID pandemic, for example, plandemic, I should say, all social media was censored. The truthful information and facts called disinformation and misinformation. And as a result of that, all of the social media platforms canceling, denying, rejecting, censoring everything that we, the people, had to say based on our First Amendment rights. By the way, our First Amendment rights were not given to us by government, given to us by God, codified in the Bill of Rights. But ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very serious. This issue that the Supreme Court be hearing today is the most important issue, in my most humble opinion, in the history of the United States of America, where the First Amendment, our First Amendment, is on trial. And if we have no freedom of speech, there's no freedom of religion. If there's no freedom of speech and no freedom of religion, Christians, conservatives, and patriots are shut out of society. In the course of this broadcast, we'll talk about what's happening in Canada, where they have no Bill of Rights, where even today, the Bible is on trial in Canada. Christians are being prosecuted and persecuted in Canada just for quoting the Scripture or reading the Scripture aloud in public. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very, very important day in the history of America. So pray for the Supreme Court. Pray for the ones that will be making the oral arguments for the protection of our Bill of Rights. Of course, the Biden administration and the Department of Justice and their thugs with badges will be arguing that the government should have authority. In fact, part of the argument is going to be the government should have fiat authority to adjudicate whether or not something is good or bad for the country, and therefore, by executive order, be able to ban it. Our founding fathers never dreamed of anything like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss the issues today, may we invite you, shortly after our monologue, invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0937. 0917, I'm sorry, 831-0917. That's the right telephone number, by the way. And let me say thank you so much for all of you that are listening, joining in the dialogue discussion each and every day. As we face the issues, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do not make our determinations on issues based on some denominational dogma or some political philosophical rhetoric, but we base the decision and the position that we take on issues on the authority of the Scripture. It's the truth book. When Jesus speaking to his disciples, John 8:31-32, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Let me just back up a little moment, do just a little brief exegetical explanation of that statement that Jesus makes to his disciples. He says, if you continue, stay, constantly dwell in my word, Jesus says, then you're my disciples indeed. That is, truly you are a disciple if you stay in my word. And if we stay in the word of God, the scripture further says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Staying in the word of God. I use the term, we need to have a central biblicist worldview. A central biblicist worldview simply means that we analyze what's happening locally, nationally, internationally, and globally. We need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I remind you almost every day on this broadcast, when we talk about issues, we need to understand that God created three institutions. God created the home, God created government, and God created the church, and he did so in that order. Anything we talk about in relationship to what is today prevalently called politics, it's called civil government in the Word of God. When we discuss any issue about government and what the governmental leadership and elected folks are doing, we're talking about biblical issues. When we talk about abortion, transsexuality, the transgender movement, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda under the Biden administration. Anytime we talk about those issues, we're talking about a biblical issue. So let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, contrary to some mealy-mouthed, less than solid theologians today are saying that you can't talk about a candidate from the pulpit. You can't talk about political ploys from a pulpit. You can't talk about the socialist Marxist media from the pulpit. All of these things are deemed political with the modern woke cultural progressives in society today. I call on you each and every day as Christians, conservatives, and patriots to take a stand on the Word of God. If God's Word says it, that settles it. It should not be any dilemma in our minds as to the stand that we ought to take. So let me remind you, as Jesus said, in John 14:6, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says a dogmatic statement that is made, and the scripture says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that has the first, foremost, and final authority. In fact, in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. So you ask the question, how long is forever? It's forever. Never ending. It is forever. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about truth, a lot of folks today want to deny it, reject it. But truth matters. In the end, it is truth that counts. But it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factual today. We find those today in the younger generation, in the millennial age group. According to the latest survey, the scripture, the headline says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Their statement, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. And at the risk of redundancy, may I say again, a half-truth is a whole lie. And we find that taking place in our society today. Both sides of the aisle, we find half-truths. We find that prevalent today in the Marxist media. We find, we'll talk about it further in the broadcast, but President Trump just said that if he's not elected, there'll be a bloodbath in America. That's what the media said. That's what the media's taken his full statement out of context, and they make it sound as though that if Trump is not elected, he's going to lead war. It'd be an open civil war in America. That's what they say that he's saying, or that he's intimating. In the whole context of what he was saying, he's talking about if he's not elected and China has its way with commerce and with industry and construction building, that there will be a bloodbath economically in America. It's a matter of how you take a statement. It's a matter of whether you bifurcate the statement. And so we find that today taking place. It is playing with truth. It's taking a whole truth, cutting it in half, bifurcating it, and making it a lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge every day on this broadcast. And I'm prayerful that you're hearing, you're listening, and it's a benefit and blessing. I just want to say a shout out, if you will, to Al and Whitney. I'll not call their last names. Al and Whitney visited with us in church yesterday. They're from way down in Plant City, Florida. Drove to Jacksonville on other occasional need, but decided they would come to worship with us. Had a wonderful conversation with them about their listening. They tune in to the Let's Face the Issues broadcast each and every day, and the messages every night that is broadcast on the air on this network of stations with the expositor preaching. So thankful for listeners like that, those that will participate, and it becomes a blessing and a benefit in their lives. That's what I pray each day before this broadcast, that this broadcast will be a blessing, inspiration, educational, and challenge for deeper conviction and commitment, the hearts and the lives of every child of God. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And we find, I believe, our nation today is in a state of mourning, because of what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole with U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7 at the top of that pole. Find the flag in the flagpole, at the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for a Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for a Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for a Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Supreme Court and censorship. First Amendment is on trial today. I'll never forget going through it, and perhaps you will never forget it either. During the course of all of the COVID pandemic, where you would have something that you would want to say about it or question it, the authority of it, question the veracity of it, question the authenticity of the statements made by Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson and the other chemically empowered organizational structures that was telling us that the COVID injections were 99% efficacious. 97% efficacious, 90%, 85% efficacious, et cetera, et cetera. Only to find, ladies and gentlemen, there was an absolute 100% lie. But when we, the people, tried to say something about it or question it or make a statement, or as I did many, many times, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, I probably read 3,000 or 4,000 research articles on the subject. And when I'd present something in relationship to questioning the COVID vaccination or try to forward an article to others, it was summarily canceled, it was sequestered, it was censored so that it could not pass to others. Ladies and gentlemen, we understand that the 2020 election was stolen, but yet you say something about it on social media and it was censored. I've got a fistful of articles that, if time will allow, I want to just touch on some of them to validate and underpin what I'm saying today in relationship to that. By the way, the telephone lines are open, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Looking at a major headline, rigged. Top state officials now confirm the 2020 presidential race was stolen. The article further states President Donald J. Trump often is charged that the 2020 presidential election was stolen from him. Democrats and other leftists have joined in the campaign to claim that that makes him a threat to democracy, although they're the ones striking the ideology of democracy, skirting the ideology of democracy to center others' opinions and to try to keep their own political critics off the ballot by putting him in jail. That's what they're attempting to do. It goes on to say, but now an expert, a top state official, election official, has confirmed that's exactly what happened to President Trump. In the report of the Federalist, they explain how West Virginia Secretary of State Mark Warner, who was credited with the extensive work to clean up and secure his state's elections, also has been critical of the Federal Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Quote, when we have our own federal election agencies lying to the American people, that's the most insidious thing that we can do in elections. Warner told officials from the FBI and the CISA on the panel at February meeting of the National Association of Secretaries of State in Washington, D.C., according to Eric Geller, the reporter. While Geller did his best to defend the federal agency under the suggestive headline, how right-wing conspiracy controversy could, in fact, jeopardize the election. This article continues. The Federalists explain that what was set up in 2018 to ostensibly protect critical infrastructure and guard against cybersecurity threats, it moved into nefarious business of information management by partnering with big tech to silence free speech that it deemed to be disinformation or misinformation or the Orwellian-sounding malinformation. It long has adopted censorship as a means to control the information that Americans get. Ladies and gentlemen, the article is about 3 or 4 additional pages, but the bottom line is, going back to substantiate what we're saying today, that makes it so vital that the Supreme Court hear the case, hear the oral arguments, and render a judiciary decision that will be constitutional. Now, my most humble opinion, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, as the little book of Amos chapter 3, I believe it is, he says, tells us that he's not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. In fact, he says, I'm just a fig picker. But ladies and gentlemen, it's my opinion that when the oral arguments are heard, when the ultimate decision is reached, and I pray that the Supreme Court renders a summary decision sooner rather than later to benefit and protect the election cycle that we're presently in. But I believe we'll have a 6-3 vote on that. I believe you'll have 6 that will vote the right way to protect freedom of speech. I believe we'll have 3 that will try to bifurcate free speech in some fashion and try to legitimize some interference with our Bill of Rights. Look at another headline. Internet censorship in the United States. In the United States, internet censorship is the suppression of information published or viewed on the internet in the United States. The First Amendment of the United States Constitution protects freedom of speech and expression against federal, state, and local government censorship. The strong protections for the freedom of speech and expression against federal, state, and local government censorship is rooted in the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, These protections extend to the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, somehow, some way, the Biden administration and the thugs that support the Biden administration somehow believe that you can go in and pick and choose parts of free speech that will be rendered null and void, that will not be free speech. I'm looking at another headline. Headline that says, simply says, First Amendment and censorship. Let me read to you something that I think is very important, that I personally hold in high esteem, that I wish that we had more people that would look at our Bill of Rights in that sense. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our First Amendment. Without the First Amendment, we have no freedom of speech. Without the First Amendment, there's no freedom of religion. Listen, without the First Amendment, we would be in a position, just as Canada, where there is the intrusion into the churches and where the nation of Canada is able now to tell the preachers what they can preach and what they cannot preach, what parts of the Bible can be read publicly, what parts are considered hate speech, and how they cannot utilize the freedom that we experience in America to speak the truth of the Word of God. Is that what we want for America? Is that the direction we're going in? Let me just read you a brief paragraph from this article. One of the 10 amendments of the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, gives everyone residing in the United States the right to hear all sides of every issue and to make their own judgments about those issues without government intervention or limitations. That's important, ladies and gentlemen, without government intervention or limitations. The First Amendment allows individuals to speak, to publish, to read, and to view what they wish, worship or not to worship, as they wish, associate with whomever they choose, and gather together to ask the government to make changes in the law or to correct the wrongs in society. The right to speak and the right to publish under the First Amendment has been interpreted widely to protect individuals and society from government attempts to suppress any ideas or any information in any fashion. What is censorship, this writer says? Censorship is the suppression of ideas and information that some individual groups or government officials find objectionable or dangerous. Would-be censors try to use the power of the state to impose their view on what is truthful and what is appropriate and tell us what is offensive and what is objectionable from their viewpoint. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not the government's responsibility. It's not the government's authority. The government has no authority to in any way intrude on our free speech. I understand that quite some years ago, Supreme Court ruled on free speech that you cannot get in an elevator and shout fire. I understand that. I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with trying to let the government determine what we should say, how we should say it, and whether or not it is objectionable or not. You remember, ladies and gentlemen, back at the very early stages of COVID, the fake plandemic that was simply designed as mass genocide? Do you remember when scientists and medical doctors and those that were in the know about medicine, high-profile, major, highly renowned, recognized physicians and scientists were censored? They were considered as someone that was speaking lies rather than speaking truth, and they were censored. In fact, it had gotten to the point that most of the network television will not even interview these physicians and scientists, reputable cardiologists. In fact, multitudes of nurses and doctors were fired from hospitals and their practices were crushed as a result of telling the truth that the COVID vaccine was harmful. We're finding now, in fact, it's probably far more than that, but 3 months ago, the published number was 17 million globally had been murdered, that's my word, murdered by way of the COVID vaccination. But yet, at the height of COVID, medical doctors, scientists, those researchers on the subject were trying to warn us and warn us and warn us and warn us some more. The internet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google, old big tech censored the truth. And I believe if the truth were known, and only God will know the facts, if truth were known, millions of people were harmed, injured, or died as a result of the censorship by the federal government, censoring what should have been left as open free speech. I'm looking at another headline. The rise of a culture of censorship. Censorship by government and government authorities. The deplatforming of people, not permitting them to use the platform to express themselves. Some sort of threat or actual threat of punishment for exercising and expressing our individual rights. Censorship is, according to the Online Dictionary for Library and Information Science, the prohibition of the production, distribution, circulation, or display of a work by a governing authority on the grounds that it contains something that the government may see as objectionable or that the government may see as dangerous material. Free speech is in the grand sweep of history a mostly recent and constantly evolving concept, this writer says, because the First Amendment protections of speech and press and religion, one might think that the U.S. is a bastion of free speech with only extremely limited government censorship. The truth is far more complex than that, this writer says. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What are your thoughts in relationship to free speech? Should it be censored? Are there things that you think that some people should not be allowed to say or present or publish in relationship to free speech? I know a number of years ago, the garbage that was being published in relationship to raw pornography, the federal government, the U.S. government, the courts decided that that raw pornography was free speech, and it could not be curtailed, could not be modified or canceled. It was free speech. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, when we say that the election was stolen, and we know that it was, and now truth is coming out finally that it was in fact stolen, when we say that COVID-19 was a plandemic and it was mass genocide that we were saying back 3 years ago, and that's just now being ascertained and publicly agreed upon, that it was a major, major mass genocidal attempt to destroy the population of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, why is it that something as filthy and as wretched, ungodly, and unholy as raw pornography can be viewed as free speech, but when I say the election was stolen, I'm supposed to look at it on the basis that that's misinformation or disinformation? I know just a few months back, because one of my pulpit messages on a Sunday morning touched on the fact that 17 million around the globe had died from the COVID vaccination. YouTube kicked us off. Pulled the message down, said it was medical disinformation that was being given. Ladies and gentlemen, that's free speech. That's free speech. When we get to the point and place where pastors are afraid to speak in the pulpit because they'll be taken down on social media because of something they may say. It may be that you talk about the election. Maybe that you talk about the candidates. Maybe that you say something about biblical truth as now is being in some way bifurcated or canceled or intervened upon in the nation of Canada. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, of what we have in America and where we stand. And free speech, ladies and gentlemen, ought to be something that is coveted, something that we'll look at and we protect and want to continue to have. Headline: government funds using AI tools for wholesale internet surveillance and full censorship. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that, listen carefully, this is where I am. We're leading up now just about, 6 months away from, I believe, the most important election in the history of America. And as we lead up to that important election that will make a decision on the trajectory and the future of America, I believe that we need to have a quick decision from the U.S. Supreme Court. Otherwise, what we're going to see, ladies and gentlemen, is a major, major, and may I say again at the risk of redundancy, major clampdown on free speech, where it will get to the point within 30, 60, 90 days before the election that we will not be able to communicate what we see happening, what we know is happening, and the attempt to steal the 2024 election. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very important day in the history of America. Pray for the U.S. Supreme Court. Pray that God will intervene and that they will make the right decision to keep our freedom of speech and not in any way bifurcate it. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.